This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, good. So let's read. If you have your Bible here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 to 5. I'm going to give you a moment and you can open there. It's always good to read in the Word if you have it, because later on when you go look for it, it's if you can't remember where it was, you can sort of remember it was in that corner and it wasn't Timothy. I don't know if you also like me, and it was next to that highlight or something like that. Okay, so if you're there, just say amen. Good. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 to 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissensions, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Amen. That is not the type of scriptures we read every day, right? It's not like we go look for those. I need to feel better now, so I'm going to go and look for that scripture. That what this talks about is false teachers. Okay, and if you look to it closely, it's actually incredible to see that it is not the ones who are doing, you know, the bad stuff or that we see as bad stuff. But he's talking about things that what not bad teachers. You get bad teachers. That's not false. It's just bad. But you get false teachers. That's really why they are called false teachers, is because they promote gain rather than godliness. So whatever they teach is for them or maybe for the people to have personal gain instead of to walk in godliness. Okay, now I want to share that with us today. Not because it was my idea, but because I really felt the Lord leading me here to talk about this. So the sermon today is false teachers and I. Okay, I hope my English is right. Not me, no, it's I. Okay, thanks everyone. So false teachers and I. And what are we going to do? We're going to be like, so how can I distinguish false teachers? I think it's quite important. Okay, and I'm going to show you why it's important for us to know what is a false teacher. So what I'm doing today is more a bit of a teaching. I'm not really a teacher, you know, but so just bear with me. If you don't understand, you can even put up your hand, like that kind of teaching. Okay, good. So first point that I want to share with us is false teachers promote gain through wrong content. Okay, my husband is on this. He's doing very well. Thank you, my husband. He's a man of any that can do anything. Guys, it's just, you must see, you know, it's just so good. I don't know how he still bears with me, to be honest. You can pray for him, but he's the man, really. Okay, so we've been married for 8 months. Okay, thanks. Okay, false teachers promote gain through wrong content. I just want to read you this quote by Jonathan Edwards. He says, "The ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them." Okay, very important us to know as Christians. You know, because I think that we think whatever's in our mind, whatever we've been taught over the years, we heard in Sunday school, as Pam said, she was in Sunday school, or, you know, what that pastor told me, whatever, that's in our minds, right? So now we have this idea. And the thing about this idea is that the way we think is the way we act. Okay, so the next thing that I made like this thing is, I don't know even if it works. What you think always affects how you behave. Okay, if I think I will get more money by standing on my head the whole day, what am I going to do? I'm going to stand on my head the whole day. Bad example, but you know, that's the type of thing. Whatever you think in your head, that is what you're going to do. That's how you're going to behave. So do you want to think the right things? I want to think the right things because I don't want to behave in the wrong way. So where do we get the right things? The Bible. Thanks, Erica. We have some interaction here. Okay. So just to stick to my words, yo, this is teaching. This is like new for me. I'm always like all around, so just bear with me. Okay, Satan always begins his attacks through wrong thinking. Okay, so it's anything that you start behaving and it's not according to the word, it starts with thinking, you know? So so another thing that I did, wrong theology leads to wrong living. Okay, so there's a lot of things here like coming at us this morning. If you don't know what theology is a study of God. Okay, so any E is a study of that thing, you know? So theology is a study of God, or knowing God, or knowing the word. And Erica's studying theology, she will tell you more afterwards, okay? But so we all have an idea of God, right? You heard it somewhere, someone told you this, or you just, as you grew up, no one ever told you this is how God looks, but you saw something on TV, or that one prayed to God, or, you know, and you have this idea in your head, your own theology of who God is. Even if you don't know it, you have it, okay? Even if you're atheist, you have a theology of God, you know? Your theology is there is no God, but you still have a theology about him. Okay? And whatever you think about God, whatever you think, not just about God, other things also, but whatever you think about God is determining how you're going to behave, how you're going to live. Okay? So if you have the wrong thinking, let me give you a good idea. If you think, and this is probably one of the worst teachings, the most false teaching, if I can say it like that, where people say that you really have to work hard to get God to love you. That you really have to work hard to get him to save you. You know? It's not by grace. You know? You have to work at it. If you are not good enough, if you're not getting your money, if you're not behaving, sorry, God doesn't love you. Okay? That is a teaching out there. Okay? That you have to give, that you have to behave, that you have to do that. Where we as believers, when you read the word, you know it says, we are saved by grace through faith. It doesn't say works. It doesn't say you have to perform. What happens when you are saved, you want to. Yeah. It's not out of striving and I have to do this. You want to give. Okay? So if you're here today and you sit in the church, you have to listen or to appreciate. Listen, yeah, where's this content coming from? You have to test it with the word, okay? Because what you hear is going to determine how you're going to behave. I hope I'm still doing the right thing here. Okay, what you think about God, human nature, sin, salvation, judgment, and other biblical themes greatly affects how you live each day. I almost want to say that counts for basically everything in life. You get it from the word. I heard the other day the guy said, they decided as a couple, they're going to raise their kids according to God's word. He says there's 10,000 books out there about how to raise your kids. But firstly, they're going to do it according to God's word. He says, and it's amazing because now his kids are raising their grandkids according to God's word. And that's just incredible. I must hear some tips from him for future references. But your marriage, your work, your family, you know, comes from God's word. Not what that psychologist said, not that they're bad in any ways, you know, but firstly the word. And if that thing doesn't fit with the word, then that's false. Then you're going to get wrong thinking, okay? So we need to watch out for that. Okay, good. Are you still awake? Okay. So, unfortunately, the thing that happens today in our society, and probably been coming on for a while because Paul was also warning Timothy about this, is that the wrong content comes from a place where it's all about you. Okay? So that's the thing that we have to watch out. As soon as someone comes, and we can have amazing messages, you know, And we can hear amazing preachers online. I mean, you guys, we can hear anything everywhere, right? If you want a sermon on spiritual warfare, you just Google spiritual warfare, and there's like hundreds. Okay, and you can be like, okay, I'm going to listen to this one. Boom. Now I know everything. Okay, but if that sermon is about man and how man can be better, and it's all about you first, you middle, you last, then it's a clear sign that that is not a good teaching. Okay? Does it make sense? And Anir is frowning. I'll speak to him afterwards. Okay, good. So I think he's a teacher, so I must be a sharp today. Okay. God isn't central, man is. Then you know this teaching. So how can you judge a teaching if you want to know? Sound teaching centers on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And sound teaching conforms to godliness, okay? Just see if I need to explain that. Always, Jesus Christ first, okay? Godliness is that I become more like Christ. I become more like the word that I read, okay? If the aim is for me just to become better and I'm amazing and you can do this and build up your self-esteem and all of that, but it's never less of me and more of God in that sense, then it's a false teaching. Now, guys, if we look at society and all the things that we're doing, most of the things that we hear is like, you can be your better self, isn't it? Build up your self-esteem. You become greater. That is the things that we hear. That is the things we're like, yeah, I need to know myself better so that I can become better. But the aim is for me to first become less so that I can become more in Christ. Does it make sense? Good. Thank you, Spen. Second one. False teachers promote gain through wrong motives. Okay? So basically we see that in those that we see. Paul said that they are puffed up. Okay? So if a teacher comes and they teach stuff, but they actually want you to think they are amazing, you know, guys, I'm amazing. Look at my stuff here, you know, or whatever. If it's all about me and I want you to think that I'm the greatest and I just want the platform, whenever I can, I want to stand in front of you and you must just think of me and I've got all the knowledge. Listen, yeah, I've studied so many things and, you know, and I know best, you know. Then you must start to wonder, what's going on here? Is this about the person in front, the teacher? Or is this about Jesus? You see, the aim of standing in front and the teachers and whoever, I'm not talking about your lecturers, okay? I'm talking now about people that's proclaiming the word, okay? We can put the same things with those guys, but we can't go up and say you're a false lecturer because you're not, you know, you understand, okay? So, when it comes to teaching God's word, if it's all about the teacher, then we must be awake to be like, what is this teaching about? Okay? Let me give you a quote thingy. Godly teaching always humbles our pride and exalts the Savior. Okay? So if you hear a teaching and you walk out there and you're like, I'm the man, you know, then you must be thinking, wow. What was that really about? You know, what did I really hear this morning? Okay, or what was this video that I watched? I think the danger is in that we can hear anything everywhere. And we fill our minds with wrong thinking. And our wrong thinking, we get to wrong living. And then we sit with people and even ourselves who get so confused because that one said that and that one said that and I don't know what's true anymore, so I don't believe in God anymore. All that kind of stuff, whereas we can just come back and say, like, why am I really doing this? And what am I living accordingly to? According to. False teaching. I didn't put up that one. Okay. False teaching starts with man, centers on man, and builds up man. Okay? But biblical theology starts with, centers in, and finishes with the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can teach on anything, you know, but Jesus is always the center. And even if people don't all the time say Jesus is center, you can hear it in their teaching. I stand in awe of who he is. I heard this one lady, she's like a well-known speaker, and she said she went to this conference and it was amazing. There was like famous Christian speakers, whatever you call them. And she was so excited and she was so nervous, and she was the first time that she was there, and she was on the platform and she was speaking her heart out. And afterwards, the coordinator of this event comes to her and she's like, oh, I wonder what she's going to say to me. I'm so nervous, you know, did I do the right thing? And the woman came and she said, yeah, it was good, but can you just not use the name Jesus? We don't want to offend people here. So just keep Jesus out of it. You can say God, that's okay. But don't use Jesus. So just for us to know that if people start to speak about that, it's no longer about Jesus, right? Because if I can't mention his name, then it's about me. It's about the show. It's about getting more people next time. Because I want to defend someone. But I think people are missing the point. Jesus didn't come for us to like him. Did you know that? He came for us. He came so that we'll be saved. Came to save us. Didn't say, I want you to like me. Another preacher said, God showed him a picture and said, give me your church that I can lead it. And he said, no, Lord, you offend people. I can still make this a smooth ride for people to get to you, you know, but if I give you my church, you're going to tell people they're hypocrites. Lord, you can't do that. I'm sorry. You're going to turn tables. Lord, not going to happen in my church. And they said, Lord, just get done and say, give me your church. He gave the Lord his church. The first thing God asked him, he said, don't take up offerings anymore. He's like, I told you, Lord, I'm not going to give you my church, you know. And they changed the way they did that, and God just made amazing things in that church. The point being is that people speak about themselves more about Jesus. We must know what's going on here. What are they really teaching us? Okay. One of the central facts of the cross is that no one should boast. Okay, and we read that in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay. The fact that we are saved, the fact that we even know that God's word is true, doesn't add anything to us. Okay? It doesn't make me more special than the person that doesn't know. Okay? For us always to know that. I think sometimes we as believers think that we're a bit better than the other people. But actually, we must come to that place where we're like, we've got something that we so want to share with you. Because I've been saved through grace. I didn't do anything. Okay, the third one. False teachers promote gain through wrong conduct. Conduct. In the military, we had the code of conduct. Okay, so that is how you had to act. Okay, so basically conduct is how you live then. So imagine if you have the wrong thinking and the wrong motives, okay, you're going to have the wrong conduct as well. So what happened, because I have the wrong motives, I want to be puffed up, or the emphasis must be on me, then I will do anything to keep it that way. Does it make sense? If living is about me, and I see that person is starting to do it better than me, what am I going to do? I'm going to break them down. I'm going to be envious. I'm going to be in competition the whole time with people. Because why? Because it's about me. It's no longer about Jesus first. My conduct and how I behave and things that I do, I will see that, oh, I don't know, you know? So that's another way that Paul says to Timothy, really, if you want to know the false teachers, see how they're in competition with one another. See how they're pushing each other down. See how they are envious of other people. Hear how they speak about other people. Okay? So it comes out in your conduct. Now, unfortunately, that's the danger of us watching these videos about preachers online. We don't see their conduct. We don't see how they're acting. Okay? So we must be really careful and see if it's Christ-centered teachings. Okay? And The word says, test everything with the word. But test it with the word. If someone says something, you'll be like, oh, I don't know, this doesn't make sense. I've done that many times in my life. There's a song out now. It says, what is it? Your goodness will run after me, or something like that. It's a new Bethel song. I can't remember the words, but it's something like, it's an amazing song. It says, God, you've been faithful always. You've been good to me. Your goodness keeps running after me. And the first time I heard that, I was like, I first need to find this in the word. It sounds like Jesus is running after me, you know, like, yes, I'm gone again, come fetch me type of thing. It just didn't sit right with me. And this, we actually read it just now. And then I read Psalm 23 and it says, surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It doesn't say it's going to run after me, but it did say it will follow me. But I had to go test it to the word before I could continue singing it. You know, otherwise I'm just like singing something that I don't even know where it comes from. And there's many songs like that. We just sing it because it's a worship song and a famous band, you know, is singing it. So I'm going to sing it. But is it Christ-centered? Or is it something that feels good to me? I forgot to mention that in the beginning, but many times what we do these days, we do things that feels good. Yeah, the church felt good today. There was a good vibe. I'm coming back. Isn't it? Not, wow, they preached Christ. They preached Christ, and I walked out convicted. And I walked out changed. But that, unfortunately, is where we're at this stage. It's all about the vibe. It's all about how it makes me feel. But guys, our feelings can be totally wrong. Did you know that? Our feelings is like me-centered. It's not Christ-centered. Okay. Are you all still with me? No one wants to run out yet. Good. Then the last one, the fourth one. False teachers promote gain through wrong values. Okay. Let me read you this thing. That was the last verse, verse 5, where Paul says they do it for their own gain. They treasure the temporal above the eternal. Okay, so false teachers, it's more important what I have now than what's coming. Okay, and you can hear it. It's definitely those prosperity gospels, you know, like, we can just be the best now. We can just be so rich now. And, you know, just give and God will give you more. And it's all just about what I can gain now. You know, but God says, don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth now. Because you can't take it with anyways. Our focus, guys, should never be on what I have now. You know, we work so hard for that next thing that I'm going to have in this earth. And God says, that's not going to affect eternity at all. But we're so focused just on what we have now. What will make me feel better now? What will make me a better person now? What will get me what I want now? Not how can I live now that will affect eternity, how I spend it. Okay? So just, it says, instead of being prophets of God, they are making a profit on God. Okay? Guys, whenever you're at a place and someone says to you, I'll pray for you, but you have to pay me. I want to say, run. Okay? That's not God. That is false teaching. That is something that people want something for themselves. Personal gain. If I stand here in church or Carlos stand here doing the offering and say, you know, you better give, otherwise, you know, you are going to be cursed this week. You know, and you hear that. And people give so much and they pay so much. And if they sin, they have to pay. This happens here in South Africa, around the block. If you sin or something, you have to pay because you have to pay for your sins or whatever. That is false teaching. Okay, that is not God. He will not let you pay with money. He doesn't need money. Okay, good. So basically, quite often you can spot false teachers by their wrong values. Okay. Have you seen the churches where people come in and, I mean, everyone bows down? You know, that's false teaching. Unfortunately, you know, it happens in big churches, but it happens in some smaller churches also. Where the teacher or the pastor becomes everyone lives for the pastor. it's all about the pastor. Guys, then we must watch out. Our eyes must be on Jesus. Okay? Not on the teacher, not on man, not on the temporal, not now, but on eternity. Okay? So when we see that or something like that, where it's about now, immediately like red flags must go off in our minds. Okay? And if you're bold, you can go speak to that person. You know, you don't just have to run away, but I would recommend it. You know, or speak to someone and pray about it, but don't just take things for what it is. Okay? Whenever you listen to a sermon or a preaching or you go to church or whatever and you're like, doesn't make sense. Talk about it, pray about it, but most importantly, read the word and see what does God say about this. Okay. The fact of the matter is that we will not know if something is false if we don't know the true thing, isn't it? I don't know if you've heard this, but the people who check for falsification of money, is that the right word? When they do make false money, that's it, counterfeits of money, they don't study wrong stuff, they study the real thing. They know it so well that whenever a fake one comes, they immediately spot it. Immediately they see, oops, no, there must be three dots, there's only two. You know, because they know the real thing so well, they immediately see if something fake is coming. And that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to run after false teachings. He doesn't want us. Why? Because he cares. And his word sets us free. Not other teachings, not other things where we have to do, not other things where it's all about us and us and us and us. There's some big churches out there, but every Sunday it's just to make people feel good. It's just so that people walk out there and be like, I went to church and he said, I'm good, I'm loved, and I'm going to make it. So I'm happy, you know. But as soon as someone starts speaking about what's going on in your heart, people are like, that preacher makes me uncomfortable. I'm running. But is it according to God's word? Is it Jesus-centered? Then Jesus has a plan for you in that. Then he's speaking to your heart. On Wednesday evening, I was just sitting in the lounge. I couldn't sleep because I had a bad day and my husband had to bear with me. Bless him. And I just went to sit in the room and just start praying. I'm praying for people, and people are going through tough things, you know. And I'm just like praying for God, to God, like, what's going on? And then I'm praying, and I'm like, oh, and I remember these people that are so blessed, and I'm praying, and I'm thanking Jesus for how they've just like seeked him, and it's just sitting there. And the next moment, I see this picture of people, and they're coming to Jesus. And it's almost like a balloon. You know those type of balloon people? Not people, balloons. But it's like it looks like a person, you know, but it's full of air, right? So the people come, and when they come to Jesus, they deflate, like completely. And they fall like a deflated balloon on the ground. Because they let out everything of themselves. And as they let out everything of themselves, the next moment the Holy Spirit comes and moves over those balloons. And as the Holy Spirit moves over, it starts to fill the balloons, the people, the balloons, the people. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills the balloons. Balloons started rising up, you know, like, I can't do it like that good, but, and start rising up. And not only does it come like full of the Holy Spirit up again, but it starts lifting off the ground. And I'm sitting in that place and I'm like, I don't want to leave this picture now because these people are so light. They're so full and there's nothing pushing them down. There's nothing holding them back. It's like, it was such an incredible feeling to feel it that I just want to check the picture the whole time because all these people are just so light. And I'm sitting there, I said, Lord, what are you saying? Like, I told you the story now with much more information than I had the first time because I had to work through it. And I'm saying, Lord, what are you saying? And he said to me, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's almost like God wants me just to realize it. in every single thing that I do. It's not about you. And if I can get that, that I can be that balloon where I let out everything of myself and let the Holy Spirit fill me, then I come to a place where I'm so light. You know what I realized in that picture? Never did the circumstances change in the picture. The circumstances didn't change. It stayed the same. I changed. Or the people changed. Let out everything of myself. Went flat on the ground. There was nothing left of me in me. It makes sense. And the Holy Spirit filled, and I was lifted up. Not about me. It's not about me. That's a bit difficult for us these days. Because everything in this world says it's about me. It's about my comfort. It's about how I feel. It's about how I can be the best me. But if it's not, if it's only me doing that and it's not in Christ, where He's the center and I'm nothing, then we're busy with false teachings and false things in our lives. Do you agree with me? The good news, though, is when we're filled with the Spirit and it's no longer about me, man, oh man, is there freedom. Because you know what Jesus said to me? If it's not about you, or He didn't say if it's not, He says it's not about you. And then He said, it's for me and it's for my glory. Guys, I just want to say it to you. It's so much more rewarding, even if you don't feel it, because we want to feel it, right? It's so much more rewarding living for God's glory than to live for ourselves. That is eternal living and not temporal living. Okay? Now get this. Then Jesus, of course, added something else, and He said, even in your suffering, even in your suffering, it's for my glory. Now, I'm still working on that one. I'm still praying with, like, what exactly are you saying, Lord? But I think He's saying to us, in every situation. Because what happened in our sufferings, it becomes about me, right? Someone must just feel sorry, or we get so full of us. Jesus is saying, even in your suffering, it's for my glory. Now, He doesn't want us to change in 1 second. Praise the Lord, otherwise I won't make it. But He's working in His heart, in our hearts, and starting to speak to us and saying to us, let go, let go, let go. Blow out yourself. Or deflate yourself. You can blow out yourself. Deflate yourself. And let me fill you. Okay. Amen. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.